Welcome to Scouts Out, an original science fiction story by A.A. Foringer, set in his Outfitters universe. All of the Outfitters universe stories are available in ebook format at smashwords.com. If you would like to support the author or read the story for yourself, please buy the book at smashwords.com.
Chapter 56. Coming around Picardo 21 now. Leah's screen lit up with all kinds of new information as the Arrogant Lion was exposed to a new vast area of space. Only 6 more planets to negotiate around till they were on top of the final and 27th in the system, hence the name Picardo 27. "Any sensors or satellite scan, eh?" Leah asked. "No, and I will let you know the second I get an inkling of any, Captain." Leo nodded. He was getting nervous, and it was beginning to annoy the crew. "Leo, when was the last time you ate something?" Yoshida asked. "Huh? I don't know. Breakfast, I guess," Leo responded without thinking about it. "Larry, when was the last time Captain Grant ate?" the first mate asked out loud. "Leo ate a partial bowl of stew exactly 12 hours and 15 minutes ago," Larry's calm voice came back over the rebuilt speakers. Leo was about to say something, but his first mate held up a finger. "And when was the last time he slept?" "Exactly 36 hours ago, for 3 hours." Leo opened his mouth again, but again the first mate's finger came up. "And when did he last get his fat old butt out of that chair?" "Exactly 12 hours and 50 minutes ago," Larry's voice came through loud and clear. "Okay, that is it. Get out of that seat and go back there and eat something, and maybe take a nap in a chair out of this cockpit," Yoshida stated firmly. "Okay, I will get back there and get something to eat, but I will be right back." "You come back here any quicker than 4 hours, and all three of us are going to pick you up and tie you to your bunk."
Yeah. Just get out of here. You are making us all nervous," Moon echoed the sentiment of the first mate. Leo looked at the three faces in the cockpit and realized he was overruled, captain or no. "Okay, you bunch of bullies." Leo got up and stretched and walked slowly towards the food replicators. The guys were right. Leo strictly enforced the crew's sleep schedule as well as regular eating habits. But with himself, he was a bit lax. Maybe just a ham and cheese sandwich and some fries, and a Diet Cola for the caffeine. Getting the food, he sat down in one of the big swivel chairs and put his feet up on the table.
Chapter 57. Leo, wake up! Leo sat straight up. He had been dreaming of home, more specifically, a place his father had taken him hunting the first season he had gotten his license. But instead of it being the fall deer season, it had been summer, and all the leaves in the southwestern Pennsylvania wilderness had been a deep, luscious green. "What? What is it?" "We just got a distress call from Picardo 27. Leo tried to stand and was vertical momentarily, but then fell back into his chair. "Damn it, my legs are totally asleep," he said. As he said this, he could start to feel the pins and needles sensations all up and down his legs. "Moon, help me to the cockpit." Moon reached over and helped Leo. Leo forced his legs to move, even though he could barely feel them. With Moon's help, he was able to make his way to the cockpit and his chair. "What's wrong, Cap?" Gonzalez called down from his perch above the cockpit. "My legs fell asleep. Any targets, Juan?" "None, sir, but we are only up on passive. Nothing active right now," the man replied. Leo sat down and felt the painful sensation of the blood flowing back into his legs grow. "Communication status?" "It's a repeat message. Standard message from an escape pod on the emergency frequency." "Is it the Peace Quester?" Leo asked, checking his own screens. Larry answered this time. "Yes, it is, Captain." "Finish confirmation. Location of the pod now?" "Working on it, Leo, but from the first indication, it is down on the planet," Yoshi replied. "Anyone else up here with us now?"
"No one I can see, Cap."
"Leo, I got something," Yoshida's voice stated quickly. Leo wanted to look his first mate in the eye to see whether it's good or bad news, but the first mate's chair was turned away from him. What do you got? The pod is on the surface, just coming into range now. That meant that the pod was just entering the dark side of the planet now, away from the sun, so it'd soon be night wherever the pod was. Tight beam transmission. Ready to go, Abe? Leo asked, knowing the answer. Ready. We'll be able to aim it as soon as we get a location. Fix achieved. Here are these coordinates, Yoshi added, transferring the coordinates directly to the commo officer. Transmission beam ready, Cap. Leo toggled his comm unit. Escape pod from Peace Quester, do you read me? Nothing. Escape pod from the Peace Quester, do you read me? This is the Arrogant Lion. Leo paused, then Yoshi motioned quickly. Abe started actively configuring his board. Boosting signal strength, Abe replied. Lion, this is Escape Pod 14 from the Peace Quester, a female voice answered weakly. Escape Pod 14, what is your situation? Two injured and unconscious. I have a broken femur and numerous contusions. Roger, any enemy near your pod? Unknown, but I don't think so. Escape Pod 14, where is the Quester? A cough and some rustling. She was destroyed about 12 hours ago. Have you found any other survivors? Negative. You are the first. Leo looked towards Yoshi, who had been scanning the entire time. Yoshi shook his head. But we are continuing to look. Lion, any idea how long before we can get down here? I think my people need an auto dock pretty bad. Leo did some quick calculations, then looked up at the cockpit crew. They each held up two fingers. About 2 hours? The female voice came back again, sounding relieved but a little desperate all at the same time. Good. It is getting cold down here. Just hurry, Lion. The Lion out. We will be in touch, Leo terminated the comm circuit. A gasp arose from Moon, and the rest of the crew looked up as well. Just on the far side of the planet, which was quickly growing larger, was the remains of the Peace Quester. Leo magnified the view until he could get a good look. It was tattered and torn apart. Leo could see parts of the ship floating nearby, held to the main body by cables or twisted pieces of metal. The entire engine assembly was gone, and Leo could see the huge landing bay by the means of a hole a shark could fit through. Leo then activated the public address channel. We got a rescue mission, people. Finucci and Verde will be in the recovery party with me. Packer and Logan will get your birds in the air and start a search pattern. Yoshi coordinates everything. Abe, continue monitoring all freaks. Send a transmission to the fleet and tell them that the Quester has been destroyed. Leo sighed and rubbed his eyes. Tell them we have a few survivors and ask them for further instructions. Chapter 58. No one else is out there, Leo, Yoshi said, his head hung low, either in mourning or from exhaustion, or both. Sit down, Yoshi, Leo motioned to the chair across from him on the command deck. The tall, lanky Japanese man sat down, let his head and neck droop over the back of the chair. Nothing, huh? No, nothing. Not even any hope. We have accounted for all the escape pods. If they weren't destroyed with the Quester, then they were shot up trying to get to the planet. The only one that made it down was number 14, and that hadn't even escaped fully. Of the three passengers on board, one had died while waiting for the Lion to arrive. One was still in the auto dock, and the female who had talked to Leo was so shook up by the whole thing, Finucci had sedated her after fixing up her leg. Two survivors from a crew of 250. What about the Peace Site, plant side? Yoshi shook his head again. We are going to be over it in about 10 minutes. Logan and Patricker have already made several passes, but so far no indications of anything. It looks like the Illyrians encircled the ambassador's site in an old ruins. Then the Stenosian troops moved in and mowed everyone down with blasters and bladed weapons. McKnight and his rangers put up a hell of a fight, but they were outnumbered and outgunned. Well, someone could be hiding, Leo said, thinking out loud. Yoshi shook his head silently. Well, as best we can figure, after the fighting was done on the ground, the Illyrians started with an orbital bombardment, like our big cruisers are designed to do, Yoshi said, breathing deeply. The ruins are now destroyed. I don't think there is even one rock stacked on another. Leo took off his gear and dropped it on the table. He'd been on the planet for 5 hours, one just trying to get close enough to the downed pod, which was stuck on the side of a mountain. It would have been much quicker, but he had sent the line off in order to guard the area and give them some warning if more Alarians showed up. Another two, treating the injured members of the Questor at the site and carrying them out to the spot Yoshida could get the line in close enough without damaging her in the high winds that came through the mountains. Then the last 2 hours, hiking and climbing back in to destroy the escape pod and carrying out the body. "Okay, any word from the fleet?" Leo asked, not expecting one. As a matter of fact, there was one. "Let's see it," Leo asked, reaching for the comm panel. Leo read quickly, addressed to all ships currently on the Alarian side of Defensive Line Wolf. The first part pertained to rescue operations, which Yoshida had already said were useless. The second part caught Leo's attention fully. Hunt down and destroy the ship, or ships responsible for the destruction of the Questor? "Surprised me too," Yoshi said flatly. "Looks like the Admiral's pissed," Leo said. "Well, so am I," Yoshi answered. "Yeah. Here we send a ship to negotiate, and they destroy it and massacre our friends," Leo responded, slamming his fist down on the table. "So what do we do now, partner?" "Larry, what are the chances that someone from the Peace Questor is still alive, either on the planet or somewhere in the Picardo system?" Leo asked without responding to his first mate. "Highly unlikely, Leo. With all the life pods accounted for, I would say in the neighborhood of 500,000 to 1 against." "Good enough for me, Yoshi. Make a note in the log. We are going to cease searching for survivors and begin our hunt for the ship or ships that did this." "When do we want to start?" Yoshi asked. "Right now." Chapter 59. "How are you doing, Ensign?" Leo said, leaning over the lower bunk of Finucci's quarters. The small girl looked up at Leo with bloodshot eyes. "Okay, sir, how is Corporal Kim?" "Corporal Kim is just fine. The doc says he will be up and around in a few hours. Then we can get you into the auto dock and get some of those nasty bruises taken care of," Leo said, smiling and holding her hand, trying to comfort her. "Have you found any other survivors yet?" Leo inhaled deeply and decided to tell the truth. "Ensign Chavez, me and my crew have searched everywhere. We have accounted for all the escape pods and have been to where the peace summit was. You and Corporal Kim are the only survivors." Leo watched all the color drain from her face. Then a sort of resigned calm came over her. "I see, sir. Are you sure?" Leo knew she had been hit by a tidal wave of emotions, but he had to press on. "Yeah. We are sure. So sure we're going to look for the ships that did this to the Questor." Leo watched her shrink into herself, starting withdrawal from the world, so she could deal with the knowledge that all the people she had spent the last year with were gone. Leo pushed. "Ensign, I need to know what you know. How many ships attacked the Questor?" She didn't say anything. She just stared upwards. Leo squeezed her hand. "How many ships attacked the Questor?" She looked at Leo now and shook her head as though she were waking up. "I don't really know anything. I was off duty when we were attacked, and I am just a junior diplomatic attaché. But I did hear some people shouting as we tried to get into the life pods that it was just one ship, and it was as big as the Redemption." Leo nodded. Then she pulled her hand away and rolled over on her side, facing away from Leo. "Anything I can do for you, Ensign?" Leo asked, with his hand resting on her shoulder. "No, thank you, Captain. Could I be alone for a while?" "Sure. I will just be a call away if you need me," Leo said, backing away. He could hear her sobbing as he left the room and started towards the bridge. Leo's link chimed. "Leo, we got a trail," Holiday declared. Leo rushed back to the cockpit. "Where?" "Heading towards deep space, at 90-degree angle from the plane system. The change in angle took place at Picardo 15, Holiday stated excitedly over the intercom. Leo pulled up the charts and then tied in the Holiday's display. Sure enough, there was a trail of discarded trash and vapors, leading away from Picardo 27 towards a point where the mystery ship could get to a hyperspace jump spot. "Yoshi, did they make the jump yet?" Leo asked. "Adjusting long-range scanners now," Yoshi stated, and suited deeds to words. Yeah, we got a large hyperspace signature just outside the fields of the system about 9 hours ago. Leo pulled up the same information, hoping his first mate was wrong. Give me an estimate of his location from his entry port into hyperspace. Activity on the bridge moved quickly. Moon was the first to answer. I think they're going right next door. I concur, Yoshi answered on the tail of Moon's words. Leo knew the phrase, right next door, was the next closest system to this one. Okay, people, we are following Abe. Send a message to all units in front of defensive line Wolf. Tell them the direction of travel and believe destination of the mystery ship. Yoshi, get us to, and he looked at the board, the Babatum system, ASAP. Energy level 1-, people, in 4 minutes. Finucci, make sure our guests are properly outfitted. Abe, scanners off, sensors up to level 9. We are going hunting for some big game. Chapter 60. There it is, Leo gasped, seeing the target of the search before anyone else. The ship was as big as the Redemption. Huge. Big enough to create its own natural gravitational field. Larry, give me a match on that ship. Name if you have it. Complete readout of its specs to everyone on board. Wow, that thing is built like a brick wall, Verde stated as the specs started to scroll across the screens. More like a flying fortress, Holiday countered. At ease of talking, we're at level 1-, Sergeant Gonzalez stated harshly into the open comm channel. Leo, that is an Alarian Imperial Fleet, class Stellar Rend, named the Emperor's Anger. Leo looked over the specs. Guys, we need to find a way to hit that thing. There was silence for a few minutes. Leo, we got an incoming message from the Dark Sword. Who is that? Leo asked, not familiar with the ship's name. Long Range Reconnaissance Ship 3 of the 1st Squadron. Confirmation, Leo asked. Signature is correct and the codes are valid, Leo, Larry responded. What's the message, Abe? They say they have teamed up with 2 other ships and are heading for this system. ETA? 10 hours. Okay, no response. We'll signal when they get here. Let's continue surveillance. Nothing happened for the next few minutes, and Leo became lost in the schematics, trying to find a hole in the Juggernaut's defenses. Leo, they are heading for deep space, Yoshi stated, sounding far away. Okay, so which way do you think they are heading? Just a sec, the first mate responded. On this course, if nothing else changes, towards Alar Prime. Someone let out a low whistle. No one needed to add. Back to the Imperial Fleet headquarters, where there are more than likely 20 more ships just like this one. How long before they get into jump position? Yoshi double-checked his figures. About 5 hours, if nothing else changes. Not enough time for another ship to get here, Moon added. Damn, that ship is going to get away, Fia added over the PA channel. Leo shoved himself away from the board, then he slammed his fist on top of the open space on the console. I want that ship. The Admiral wants that ship. And the Questor needs avenge, people. I want options, and I want them now, people. Leo shouted over the intercom. Failure is not an option. I don't want to hear it's impossible. I want every option considered, even ramming the line into the bridge of that cruiser. No one said a word. Leo glared at everyone who lifted their eyes towards him. 2 hours, people. Give me a plan in 2 hours of how we can stop that thing. The next 2 hours were deathly quiet on the ship. The only sounds came from buttons being depressed and fingers tracing screens. Leo concentrated on the huge ship's defenses, looking for a hole in the ship's coverage. It looked impossible. The ship had almost 360-degree coverage of the space around it for about 5,000 meters from its various weapons. Beyond that, it could hit a target with its huge 120-millimeter cannon. Besides that coverage, it had a squadron of 20 two-man ships that could be used as either spotters or fighters, depending on their armament. Leo looked over his watch. The 2 hours was up. 3 minutes ago, but everyone's head was still buried in their screens. Leo was automatically sorry he had yelled earlier. There was no need for it. These guys were as angry as he was over the destruction of the Questor and the death of their friends. Guys, meet me in the lounge in 2 minutes. Moon, Packer, Logan, stay in place. Join us via comlink. Leo got up quickly and was followed down the ladder by the bridge crew and Sergeant Gonzalez. A few minutes later, everyone was in the lounge in their usual seats. Leo gave a little cough and proceeded, "Sorry I yelled earlier. I was a little angry and excited. I know you guys want that ship as much as I do. We all had a friend or two in the Quester, and I let their grief get to me. I am sorry." Leo looked around and felt a hand or two on his shoulder. Knowing that he was forgiven by the looks on the guys' faces, he continued, "Okay, what have we learned in the last 2 hours?" Moon spoke up. "Sir, we can do damage to the ship if we get in close enough, but it would take about half an hour of continuous firing from one of our weapons to put a serious hole in the hull of that thing, and I don't think the Alarians will let us shoot at them for that long." Leo responded, "According to my calcs, we might be able to get close for about 2 minutes, and that is if all the Alarians on board are either drunk or cross-eyed. Likewise, their sensors. We are safe out here, but anything, asteroids, meteors, rogue comets, and us, with everything turned off, including life support, would be seen within 10,000 meters of that thing," Gutenberg added. Yoshida spoke up at this point. "If we took out the bridge, they could probably still operate for an indefinite time, because they have one redundant bridge buried deep in the ship." "Just like the Redemption," Leo added. "Exactly," Yoshida answered. Abe joined in. "Can't jam them. It would take 50% of our power to do that, and then we would be dead in the water. We can't slam them with our tractor beam. That thing is just too darn big." The room started to go silent. "How about if we don't try and destroy them?" Flavius said quietly. "What is that, Flavius?" Leo asked, raising his head. Now the man spoke so softly, it was as if he didn't even say a word. "What if we don't try and stop them?" "If we don't stop them soon, Flavius, they're going to get away," Fundakowski explained. "What if we just slowed them down?" the man said meekly. Leo raised an eyebrow. "What do you mean?" "Well, Cap, they need to get up the speed to make the jump to hyperspace. Why not stop them from getting up the speed?" "Good idea, but how do we do that? I mean, that thing..." "He has got something, Leo," Abe interrupted, looking up from his comm panel. "Yeah, what's he got?" Yoshi asked. "The engines," Fia answered, also looking up from his comm panel. "I really must be missing something. The engines..." "The engines are as protected as anything else on that thing," Moon stated over the intercom. Now there was chaos as people started passing around their comm panels. "It might just work," Yoshi said, not sounding all that convinced. Leo finished looking over the diagram on Fundakowski's panel. There was more discussion, and the general consensus was it had a 50-50 chance of working. "Okay, people, this is the best we got for now. Get to your positions. We got a half an hour to see if this thing will still work." The room cleared immediately, and Leo dimmed the lights before going back to the command deck. Half an hour later, Leo looked around his crew. "Okay, everyone. What does everyone think from the front to rear? Let me know," Leo said, waiting for the responses. "Workable, survivable if we're lucky," came Yoshi's response. "Possible, possible, Moon." "I have got a good feeling about it," Abe stated. "I would like to see if we can do it, with God's help, of course, Gonzalez." "Let's give it a try," Holiday said glumly. "Beats hanging around here at level one and freezing to death," Fundakowski. "I say we get down to it, Packer." "What he said, Logan." "Yeah, and maybe afterwards we can get some hot food and cold beer, Verde." "I am ready, willing, and able, Captain," Finucci. "Engines are warm and the power looks good, Cap." "Me and my big mouth, Flavius." There was a chorus of name-calling and agreement at this last statement. "Fraught with hazards and perils, but with a chance for great reward," Winchester announced. "Wow, great rousing endorsement for that plan. Anybody got any better ideas?" Leo waited for 10 seconds. No one said a word. Leo looked around the cockpit. The other guys all nodded. Yoshi gave him a thumbs up. "Okay, people, let's do it." Leo paused. "For the Peace Quester." Yoshida nudged the arrogant line forward, barely moving a fraction of their best speed. The plan was simple. The Emperor's anger had a very slight, very small blind spot in its sensor and scanner fields directly behind its engines, small enough to have the engineers who designed the system not to worry about it, but large enough for a ship the lion's size to take advantage of it. Of course, the ship still had a total coverage of space behind the engines for 5,000 meters, but to the radiation and background thermal signature of the engines, maybe, just maybe,
the Lion could get close enough to disable the engines. Control lock with the sharks has been initiated, Gutenberg stated clearly. Roger. Yoshi, you have all the ships under your control, Packer stated. All armaments are mine, Moon, who would be taking care of the first shots targeting the engines on the master ship. He will launch both the Lion's and the Shark's weapons as well. Leah looked over the diagram displaying the distance. The Lion and company was a blue dot, and the Anger a massive red line segment. Also on the screen was a 5,000-meter mark, which would be the absolute distance where the Lion could go without being detected. Cap, we got a problem, Thea stated calmly over the private channel. What is it? Leah said, almost a whisper. I just ran a simulated battle damage assessment on the Anger. So? Leah whispered back. So that thing can still get up to light speed on the 8 engines. Okay, so they got 4 spare engines. Yeah, well, I checked that out too. The best we can take out is 4 engines on 1 run. What about secondary explosions? Leo asked, referring to any domino effect from blowing up one engine and the explosion reaching another engine, as he watched the space between the Lion and the Anger grow smaller. I don't think so. All those engines are independent of each other, with 2 feet of Tiberium steel between them, and the only place they have a common connection is at the central power supply, which is buried deep within that giant. Okay, I'll tell everyone. Leo toggled the switch for the PA as the Lion got closer and closer to the point of no return. Gang, there's a strong possibility this plan won't work. It won't slow them down, and they may still get away, but we knew that when we started. We need to take out 5 engines, and we can only realistically target 4. But we're going to do it anyways. Gonzalez, a prayer. Leo heard an intake above the intercom as Gonzalez sucked in some air. Then he began the Lord's Prayer. Leo prayed along and let out an audible amen along with the rest of the crew. Then they waited. Hitting the mark in 3 seconds, Yoshi. 2. Dropping Watcher Boy, Abe stated. 1. The ship lurched forward, along with the 2 sharks, sirens going off, letting everyone know that the ship's scanners had targeted them. Torpedoes away, Moon announced. 2 seconds to release point, Abe announced. Blaster firing, said Moon. Leo heard the whine of the energy being released. Connection broken, Abe shouted above the din of the alarms. Breaking left, Packer stayed calmly as the shark started down the port side of the Anger. Breaking right, Yoshi affirmed as the Lion streaked down the starboard side of the huge ship. Gunners, take out your targets, Leo commanded, giving the gunners the ability now to shoot at their prearranged targets. The next few seconds was a roller coaster ride as the Lion weaved in and around the larger interstellar ship. Leo caught a glimpse of the sharks on his screen and was relieved to see they were not space dust. The ship lurched unexpectedly downward, and Leo started to get a damage report. Break contact, break contact. Run for the rendezvous point. Evasive maneuvers till we are out of their range, Leo ordered. The Lion vaulted away from the behemoth, getting hit several times in the escape, and as Leo checked his screens, he noted the sharks were falling. Flashes of blue blaster energy streaked by as the Alarian ship continued to fire at them. I'm hit, Leo heard Packer say. How bad, mate, was Logan's response before Leo could even think about reaching for the switch to ask himself. Not bad at all, just my rear stabilizer, so I should be flying just like you for a while. A little wobbly, Packer chuckled to himself. Very funny, Logan responded. The bolts of energy were lessening now and disappeared completely when the Lion got behind a small moon that was circling a large gray-colored planet. For a few seconds, there was silence. Leo, we got 6 bogies detaching from the ship, according to the stay-behind buoy, Abe announced just as Leo was about to take a breath of relief. Abe, what damage did we do to the Anger? Readouts from the buoy suggest we took out 3 engines and an undetermined amount of damage to the superstructure. Leo let out a sigh and punched his console. Okay, letting out a deep breath. Send out a new message to all units in front of Wolf. Tell them we damaged the Anger. Tell them how, along with the current location and direction of the target. Finucci, how are your patients? Believe it or not, Captain, still sleeping from the sedatives I gave them. Good. Okay, people, what is happening with our battle damage assessment? 4 bogeys at our back door, Cap, Faraday shouted. Take them out, people, Leo ordered. He turned his attention to the damage, knowing the ship and the sharks were more than a match for the 4 fighters. The doors to its topside hangar bay had been blown away. The sensors in topside Sector 47 had been fried, along with the processor. Got one, Flavius shouted.
Got the one splitting left, partner, Logan declared. Anyone got a reading on those other two yet? We only got 4 count of 4, Yoshi asked while maneuvering the ship.
Negative, good buddy. Splash 2 more bandits. We are heading around the far side to look for them, Packard declared.
Leo took this all in a second, then went back to his displays. Pressure valve blown on engine coolant system 3.
No biggie.
Moderate hull breach on level 1.
Fia, how is that hull breach?
Great, just great. We had a patch in place and then got blown from an overheated power conduit. Flavius and me got some nasty burns on our hands, but at least it was warm down here. Now leave me alone so I can get back to work. Fia out.
Leo looked over his board and rerouted some of the energy flow patterns around the damaged area.
Larry, how are we doing?
Working at 85% right now, Captain.
Well, hold it together for a while. Reduce your gap to calculate a jump to 20 minutes. We need to do some repairs before we are ready to do any jumping. Besides, that ship is still out there.
Roger, Captain Grant. Efficiency back up to 95% with the change in parameters.
Good. Keep it tight.
Leo turned off his comm link and turned to Abe.
2 bogeys coming in the front door line. Following us to you, Packer stated.
Bring them to me, boys, Gonzalez called back.
The 2 sharks streaked within meters of the line, 1 above, 1 below.
About 500 meters behind them were the 2 Alarian two-man multipurpose fighters.
Leo heard the blaster whine, saw the 2 fireballs erupt from the sky.
Sky around us is now clear, Moon declared.
It won't be for long. I just got a launch of 10. No, make that 12 bogeys from the Anger. ETA 20 minutes.
That is all of them for now, Leo announced. Okay, folks, do a quick BDA and give me a report. Fix what you can. Watch for overloads.
Leo breathed deeply. 12 fighters. That was going to be a tough one.
Abe, what is the status of the Anger?
Abe checked on the stay-behind buoy circuit.
Still gaining speed, Leo. Direction unchanged. They will be at a hyperspeed and outside of all gravity wells in less than an hour.
Damn, that thing is going to get away, Leo thought.
After 12 minutes of work, Leo was struck with a crazy idea.
Leo activated his comm unit for PA mode so everyone could hear the plans.
Yoshi, fire up the engines. Gang, we are going back towards the Anger.
What? Leo, are you crazy?
Yoshi asked, turning around in his seat.
Leo talked quickly and sternly.
Yeah, maybe. But take us back. We are out here in the open. Those fighters are going to descend on us anyways. And we can't jump with the damage done to us right now, so why not head back towards their ship? Keep close enough so that if they shoot at us, they are shooting at their own ship. And if that ship fires at us, they might just hit one of their fighters.
You are nuts, Yoshi said, as he started to turn around and move the line.
Leo nodded vigorously.
Let's do what they don't expect us to do. Head straight for them.
The next few minutes were a blur. Yoshi, tailed by Packer and Lion, played chicken with the fighters. Luckily, the fighters, not knowing the rules, pulled away, but not before the Lion and the Sharks were able to take out 4 of them, moving the total down to 8.
Then the Lion was back in range of the Anger and took several hits, one taking out the portside main blaster and throwing the ship into a spin.
Yoshi quickly recovered and took the Lion to within 900 meters of the Anger's hull.
Fundakowski and Flavius blast away at point-blank range at sensor, scanner matrices, and hull protrusions.
Gonzalez, Moon, Holiday, and Verde kept firing on the fighters and anything else that popped into their view.
Leo kept a close eye on Packer and Logan, who were purposely always on the other side of the ship in order to give the Alarian commander fits.
Leo could barely keep his track of how many times they were hit, usually from flying higher than 20 meters above the deck, not to mention the few near hits from the fighters that would able to get shots off at them.
The Lion crisscrossed the surface of the immense ship numerous times, slowing down gradually from the continual abuse it had taken and not having to move as hastily due to no fighters attacking them this close to the ship.
One fighter left, Abe announced.
He is gone, just crashed into a tractor beam unit, Logan said, matter of fact.
The Lion was scrambling along the surface of the huge ship now, no wing firing at them, and the Lion almost totally depleted of energy.
Yoshi, slow it down, Leo said.
The ship stayed. The ship started to move to almost a crawl from what it had been moving, but Leo knew it was relative. The Anger itself was moving along at a good speed, and the Lion was moving just slightly faster than her.
Packer, Logan, join us over here, Leah ordered.
Be there soon, a little longer than usual, though. What's wrong, Longshot? Leo said, searching the screens frantically for a clue.
Rear stabilizer totally gone, and the port one was damaged too, not to mention I can only move as quick as a hover cycle, and my navigation has one foot on the banana peel and the other in the grave.
How about you, Grumpy? Leo asked, hoping the wingman could help.
Not much better. My main fuel is gone, and my reserves are at 1/2, and the only thing I got that is still 100% is my targeting scanner.
Get over here as best you can. Yoshi, start heading towards them.
Report, everyone, Leo said, trying to sound confident.
Moon replied for the pilot, after realizing Yoshi was busy.
No torpedoes left. Portside main blaster out. Starboard blaster, only 28% power reserves.
Starboard targeting scanner gone. No energy for ball turret blasters.
Main latitude controls are getting sluggish. Possibly some circuits either got fused or fried, and maneuvering speed is down 3/4. We might get to light speed, but we need at least 1,000 meters from the anchor, and we would need about 1 hour of calculation time, Yoshi answered now.
Communication gone, except short-range internal and emergency distress. Tractor beam operational, minimal power and scanners and sensors at minimal operating standards, Abe Gutenberg added.
All ball turrets are operational except no power.
Holiday got hit by exploding vent, but Finucci says he is fine.
Funde and Verde are working on the hull breaches and the control circuits with Fia, Gonzalez reported.
Gonzo, why don't you get back there and help Fia? No sense sitting in the turret with no power, Leo suggested.
He heard the former farmer climb down the hat from his perch and head towards the back.
Fia, what's up? Leo called back, hoping for good news.
I hope we don't have to run anywhere, because we can barely limp right now. The main engine is out, and the two left are sputtering. The hull is full of holes, and we are losing internal pressure, and the shield generators are blown out.
Okay, keep life support going, and work on getting us some legs.
Roger, Cap.
Leo looked outside. They were still within meters of the hull of the huge ship, threading their way between its superstructures.
All these targets and no bullets.
Cap, we got an incoming communication, Abe announced.
From where? Leo asked, hoping that someone from the fleet was within range.
Abe looked at his screen, then did a double take.
It's the Alarian, and the communications officer pointed out the window.
Okay, got it. Leo hit the button and converged 4 smaller screens into 1 large one.
Greetings, Captain of the small ship that is skimming along the surface of my ship like a gnat, the face of the Alarian commander said, laughing.
Leo just stared at the man for a second.
Greetings, my name is Captain Grant of the Arrogant Lion, Unified Earth Fleet. To whom am I speaking?
This is Admiral Farrak of the Alarian Imperial Fleet, son of Bostic.
It is an honor to meet a warrior of such ingenuity, bravery, and skill. I am sorry that I will have to kill you soon.
Leo looked at the man, trying to be cavalier.
How do you plan on doing that? Your weapons cannot hit us here, this close to your ship, and I have no intention of leaving my safe haven.
I appreciate your position, but you will either leave in the next few minutes and be destroyed by my cannon, or you will be destroyed when this ship goes to hyperspace and your ship is torn apart by the ensuing hyperspace vacuum, which will cause your ship to disintegrate.
Leo looked around and got a nod from Moon, who mouthed the words, gaining speed.
You see, Captain, normally I would want to capture you and your ship, but one of my sons was killed in the battle which you started, so now I have decided to kill you and your men.
The man began laughing and continued laughing, showing his ebony black teeth, and was even laughing when Leo terminated the connection.
Anyone got any ideas? Leo asked quickly.
Moon spoke up.
I don't know if you want to hear this, but we got about 30 minutes before the anchor gets to jump speed.
Thanks for that wonderful news, Abe said, punching a few buttons on his console.
Leo just nodded.
The sharks are here, Yoshi announced.
Leo looked up at the display as the two fighters parked on the surface of the anchor about 300 meters from the line.
Why did they land?
Yoshi fielded this question. Their energy reserves are almost gone. In order not to go drifting off into space, they decided to clamp on and devote what they had to life support.
Leo thought quickly. Okay, land right here.
Abe, tell them to set their auto-destructs at 20 minutes.
Leo looked at the clock. Tell them to get over here. Leo unstrapped himself from his seat and then tapped his first mate on the shoulder. See if you can find a hatch or something we can break it into. We are going to invade.
You are absolutely insane, Leo, Yoshi said, standing up and yelling at him in the cockpit. This ship has bunks for close to 5,000 Alarians. You know, the big blue guys stand about 7 feet tall and stronger than a team of mules. Not to mention all the Stanochian troops we know they have. There is no way we can win, he shouted.
Leo turned to face his friend and tried to quench his own anger and stated as calmly as he could.
What do you want to do? Try and take off? We could barely get through the blaster field when we're in one piece. I don't think there's much chance we get out of here on two engines and no shields.
And if we stay here, we are toast when the anger goes into hyperspace, Yoshi stated, calming down.
Leo looked at him. Yeah, and this is all my fault.
If I hadn't had this crazy idea to come back here, well, we might be free and clear now, Leo said, hanging his head.
That is true, but hey, at least you made an Alarian admiral pissed off at you, Yoshi said, putting his hand on his roommate's shoulder.
Yeah, well, let's see if we can make him even madder, Leo said, and checked on his watch.
Let's do it, Yoshi replied, smiling weakly.
Attention, attention, the Alarian is in danger of being destroyed. We can't fly off the anger. We can't stay here. So, my friends, get your spacesuits on. We are going for a walk. No discussion, no debate. Just grab every weapon and tool you can carry. Let's go. Meet you all at the main airlock in 10 minutes. Set the anti-boarding measures as you leave your areas.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Scouts Out by A.A. Foringer, as read by the author. This audio production, copyright 2015, all rights reserved. A new episode of Scouts Out is released every Saturday. To get an ebook version of this story, go to smashwords.com, where you can find other stories in the Outfitters universe. The story you have just listened to may contain slight variations from the original text due to translation from written word to spoken word, but overall, the story has not been changed. To contact Aaron, visit his blog at aaforinger.com or email him at aaforinger@gmail.com. He is also on Twitter as aaforinger. He craves your feedback, so get to the comm link of your choice and commence with the typing.